It's time for another legal talk right here on eRadio with Hananan Attorneys. And today it's nice to chat again to Hananan's Jaco Hamman. It's been ages since we spoke. Jaco, I don't think we spoke in 2023 yet.
I hope it's not that bad, but it feels like ages. But yeah, it's nice to be back.
Yes, nice. And today we're talking about forensic audits and what exactly it entails. That's going to be interesting. I think we'll start off with this question. What's the difference between a forensic audit and a normal audit?
It's a very good question, Leon. So first of all, I have to say that people speak often about forensic audits, but technically there is no such thing as a forensic audit. Technically, it will be a forensic investigation conducted by a forensic accountant. Now, the reason why I say that is that when you do an audit, there's certain international auditing standards that they have to comply with. Now, when conducting a forensic investigation, those standards don't apply to a forensic investigation. Another difference would be is when you conduct an audit, like on, let's say, my firm now, which we do an annual audit each year, you'll do it for a specific financial year. Let's say, for argument's sake, now the last one that will be conducted the next couple of months, which is then for our financial year from the 1st of March 2022 to the 28th of February to 2023. So that's the year, the financial year. The auditors then come in and they look at what we've done, the payments that we've made, what's the source documents, but they don't look at all the transactions that happened in a year, because that will take them ages. The only thing they do is they take a sample. So for argument's sake, they'll look at the payments and they'll see, okay, there was 1,000 payments made during the year. They'll draw a sample of 10 for argument's sake, look at those payments, see if those payments were legit, if the source documents is there, and then at the end of the day, they give you audited financial statements. And in essence, what that's saying is to say that we've audited the books of Hananan Attorneys, and we are satisfied that which Hananan Attorneys accounts say is their financial position, that is in factual fact their financial position. So that's the auditor's role. And that you'll typically use, and your listeners will know about this, if somebody wants to go and buy a new business, then they look at the business's audited financial statements. And because it's been audited, they can be satisfied to say, I'm happy that, yes, the profit is X amount of money. On the JSE, if you've got shares in a company or you're looking to buy shares in a company on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, then you want to look at their audited financial statements to see, okay, but this company is in fact growing, it is making a profit, it's a good buy, I can invest. Now, of course, audits aren't without its challenges. And if you look at Steinhoff, we all know what happened to Steinhoff. So auditing isn't also always, there's still problems that can jump in. Mm-hmm. Now, compare that now to a forensic investigation. Now, a forensic investigation, I will try and narrow my scope, the area or the time period which I'm looking at, because at its nature, I can't look at a sample. I have to look at everything. So if a client comes to me and says, Jaco, I'm worried that there's some fraud within my company, I need you to look into it. Then I'll say, okay, give me a period that we can look at that it isn't too many informational transactions as a start, because of course the more information one needs to look at, the more costly it is. Then they'll say, okay, let's like look at a 3 month period for argument's sake. Now, bear in mind, we've done investigations where you look into a 3 year period, but that investigation then takes you a couple of years to do, and the cost is a lot of money. Then I'll look at each and every payment to see, let's take payment of a supplier. I'll go to the bank account, I'll look at the bank statement, say there was 1,000 rand paid out according to the reference, it's supplier X. I go and have a look, see in which bank account it was paid. I know, go and check and confirm that that is in fact the bank account of the supplier. Then I'll go and look and see was proper procedure performed in appointing that supplier. And I have to look at each and every one of them. So each transaction is looked individually. You can't take a sample because the role of a forensic investigator when it comes to court is so that I can tell the court as an expert to say, look, I've looked at all these documents and I can tell you 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 is what I found. But if I can't do that, I can't say to a judge, yes, there's a year, I've taken a sample, but there's no fraud. But I haven't looked at everything. So how can I say that there's no fraud? So that's the biggest difference. But between the two, you're conducting the forensic investigation on the one hand and then your audit on the other.
Okay, and Jaco, in which instances would I need to employ the forensic services of Hahn & Hahn?
So we get a lot of clients that come in and say that, look, we are worried that our bookkeeper or accountant is making false payments. Now, typically what happens there, or it can be a director or another employee, typically what would happen is they would falsify the payments. In other words, they would create on your banking profile a fictitious supplier, and then in that, when creating that fictitious supplier, they put in their own bank account. So that's the sort of thing that you would then come to us. Other things would be if you have a look at your business and you suddenly see that, for argument's sake, you've got various vehicles and now the maintenance cost on those vehicles has now suddenly increased. And you ask the question, but why? Then we could come in and have a look at it. We've found over the years that you get instances where people, fictitiously say that this machine's got broken, for argument's sake, the engine, and then suddenly what happens is that same engine gets replaced, but the person inside your company has a contact on the other side. And then if it's an instance of assets getting stolen as well. So we come in there. So in sometimes I've referred to forensic investigations, and this is now where it not gets to necessarily to the accounting records to say that, look, I'm a policeman with a degree. That's in essence of it. So if there's anything that you are worried that somebody's stealing from you or defrauding the company, that's when you come to us. We also have clients who the company and there's two shareholders and they now want to split up the company. And the one shareholder or both of them will come in and they say, look, we no longer trust each other. We want to know what actually happened within the company within the last year. And you need to tell us if all payments that were made, was that done above board? Was proper procedure followed? That sort of thing. Now, in all these cases, what is an advantage for our clients is because we're a law firm, we, of course, know the Labor Relations Act and all actions pertaining to disciplinary proceedings. So if you find that there's an employee, for argument's sake, that has now there's an allegation of fraud or mismanagement, whatever the case may be, we can assist them with the disciplinary process. So first of all, make sure that person is dismissed if there's enough evidence. Then we go the next route and say, well, let's institute criminal proceedings against that individual so that the law on that side can take its follow its route that he has to follow, and then institute civil litigation. Now, all that means is that you sue the person so that you can try and recover your lost funds. And by doing that, you can do it twofold. Either if there's a pension fund and you get judgment or an agreement with the person, you can keep back some of those pension fund money to recover your funds, or if they've got any assets, sell those assets and all to recoup your funds.
Okay, and then that brings us to our final question for today. Jaco, do I have to confront the alleged fraudster within my company?
Yeah, so a lot of time people, that's the first thing that they want to do. They want to call in the employee and confront them and say, but this is what I've seen and what now. Now, That's a very dangerous thing to do, because the employee can, when they walk out there, immediately start deleting documents and that sort of thing. So I always sort of advise my clients to just hold back on that a bit. Let us rather come in, one suspends the employee pending the investigation, and then once you've got enough evidence, then you approach the alleged fraudster and you say, well, look, this is the information that I have. Now, the position has slightly changed over the years pertaining to the courts when conducting a forensic investigation. So when I started way back in, what was it, about 2007, there were instances that it wasn't necessary to confront the alleged perpetrator with your findings. And the reason for that was simple. You had enough evidence. So you had enough evidence to finalize your report. And the feeling was, well, why do I need to talk to this guy? He's in any event just going to lie to me. However, our courts is about, I think it's now 2-3 years ago, ruled that when conducting such a forensic investigation, you have to give the individual that's now under investigation an opportunity to present his side of the story. Now, that just means you need to give him the opportunity to do that. It doesn't mean that that he has to come and talk, because he doesn't have to, because it's still voluntary. Because, you know, and like you've seen on the TVs, they say you've got the right to remain silent. Anything that you say can be, will be used against you in a court of law. Now, that sort of TV principle, if you like, that same principle counts in South Africa as well. So a person doesn't have to talk to you, but you have to give him the opportunity to come and put his side of the story forward. Now, in a lot of instances, it is a good thing to talk to the individual, but again, then you should only do it once you are at the end sort of or middle of your investigation, where at least where you have a lot of information again and a lot of evidence again. Because the reality is that these people, if they are now a fraudster at the end of the day, they're going to give you the runaround. And they're going to send you in all sorts of avenues to derail you. Therefore, it doesn't make sense to spend hours and hours talking to them if you don't really know already what the position is. Look, there's always an possibility that if you present them with 10 facts, that they give you a valid reason for it. They say, no, but that payment was made into that account, but it is because the person has changed his bank account details. And unfortunately, that individual has now died. That's why the new people don't know about it, or whatever the case may be. So there are instances where they can assist you and say, well, this is why they're innocent on this specific topic. But yeah, so it's fine, talk to the people, but just keep a bit back. Let one first come in there, suspend them, pending the finalization of the investigation, and then you can do it.
Wow, that was very, very interesting. Jaco, as always, thank you so much for your time today. And that is auditing in a nutshell. Jaco Hamann, of course, from Hahn & Hahn Attorneys. It was always, as always, great to chat to you, Jaco.
Thank you, and same to you, and all the best. Hopefully we'll talk sooner this time. Next time.
Thanks. Yes, let's see. Thank you, Jaco.
Okay, Jan. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Are you or your business in trouble and struggling to find a solution? Call Hahn & Hahn Attorneys, as we assist clients in finding solutions. We specialize in consumer and food law, commercial and construction law, forensic investigations, and administrative law. Visit hahnlaw.co.za. That's H-A-H-N. We assist clients nationwide. Hahn & Hahn Attorneys, because we care. Don't miss Legal Talk with Hahn & Hahn Attorneys, Wednesday mornings at 10 on eRadio.